Well, I would like to play a game. Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah, it's summer. We can loosen up a little bit, right? Have some fun. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the four main movements of the Bible and see if you can hear a common theme. Like I said, fun, right? So the Bible begins with its first movement, creation. Genesis 1 and 2 tells us that God made everything that existed. It was good, and all was well. All was as it should be. Here are some highlights from creation. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and it was so. That one answers a deep human uncertainty. Who let the dogs out? Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. God created all that exists. It was good. And everything was as it should be. God created all that exists. It was good. And all was as it should be. It's like we should cue the ominous music, right? Because we live in God's creation, but it is not as it should be. Everything is not good. What happened? Well, this is addressed in the second movement of the Bible, the fall. This is not pumpkin spice fall, but in this movement, we see people fall away from God's presence as sin entered the world. And it all began with a lie. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast. Before we read this, the original language really paints a picture of saying the serpent was more subtle. The serpent was more subtle than any other beast. You know, we sometimes think of sin as having this like blinking light over it, this overt, obvious thing that we shouldn't do. And we picture the enemy as, you know, his tail poking out the bottom of his trench coat and his horns and his pitchfork, right? But this says the enemy is very subtle, which is why we need to remain on guard, because he's subtle. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? So the first people then made a selfish choice and consumed what was never meant from them, and this caused their separation from God. All of us can trace our lineage back to the first man and woman, which means our inheritance is a sinful nature that separates us from God. So what's the solution? Thankfully, the third movement of the Bible provides one. Immediately after Adam and Eve sinned, God offers hope. The Lord God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. This points to the future where Jesus crushes the enemy. So we see here, we choose sin. We choose to be separated from God, and he chooses to redeem us. This third movement of the Bible is all about redemption. See, we enter this broken world as sinners, separated from God. But God offers us redemption and restores our relationship with him through his son, Jesus. The story of redemption continues in the Bible, and listen to Jesus. He says this. He says, truly, truly I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. So we're saved and redeemed through our faith in Jesus. Now, if we're saved, we still currently live in a world that's broken. So the final movement of the Bible points to the restoration of God's people in his creation. And it gives us a vision of our future in Jesus. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. God will restore his people and his creation. So those are the four main movements of the Bible: creation, fall, redemption, restoration. Did you hear a common theme? I'm kidding. So let's review. Creation. God said, let there be light. God said, let us make man in our image. The fall. The serpent, whispered, did God really say that? Redemption. The Lord God said to the serpent, he will crush you. Jesus spoke and said, truly, truly, I say to you, there's redemption in me. Restoration. I heard a loud voice saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. God spoke and creation existed. The serpent whispered and sin entered the world. Jesus states that redemption and salvation are in him, and a loud voice declares a future where God is with his people. In each of the four movements of the Bible, we hear the power of words. We hear that words have weight. Words have weight. That is a heavy truth to sit under, so I want to pray for us. God, we know words have weight because the greatest gift we have is your word that leads us to life. God, I pray that as we're stirred, if we're convicted today, that it would be something that brings about change, that draws us closer to you. I thank you for the time I've gotten to sit under this truth, and thank you for the times that I've bit my tongue in the last couple of weeks because of it, and I am sorry for the times I went ahead and said what I shouldn't have. But God, we thank you for your goodness and your kindness. I pray for those who don't know Jesus as their Savior today, that as they hear your word, that you would draw them to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So words have weight. Parents know this, right? Words can stir emotions and rattle in our memories. Your child's first word is a word you'll never forget. Our son Wyatt, he spoke his first words a few months after this. They were, go Spurs, go. I'm kidding. His first word was the sweetest word I've heard, and I'll never forget it. It was Dada on Mother's Day. His first word was Dada on Mother's Day because he is hilarious. So words have weight, right? So with that truth ringing in our ears, let's read our text for today. We're in the middle of a series in the book of James. We're in chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 2. James chapter 3, verse 2. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. So James, he sketches a lot of images with his words, right? He makes us see a lot of things in our mind. I think he does this so that those pictures will stick in our minds and impact the words that we use. He used the image of a horse bridle, of ship rudders, of wild beasts. But the most destructive picture he paints is one of fire. And it's critical that we become more intentional with our words because James tells us that we are playing with fire. James says, when we speak, we are playing with fire. He says, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. So an entire forest can be burned down by a single spark. Right? A heart can be broken by just a few careless words. And when we speak, we're playing with fire. So right after college, I shared a house with a few of my friends, and it's safe to say none of us were very refined. But one of my buddies in particular had what you could call very colorful language. So when he started working at this Christian elementary school, we all thought it was hilarious. It was like the plot line for a bad sitcom. And we're like, this is not going to make it past the pilot episode. But I remember he came home one day and he said, dude, I'll translate. Dude is from the original bro language that means friend who I care about. He said, dude, I got to clean up my language. I'm going to paraphrase what he said. He said, because one of these kids is going to make me mad and I'm going to talk to them like I'd talk to you and I'm going to lose my job. He knew words could cause destruction, and he was playing with fire. Because of that, James tells us to choose words carefully. We're playing with fire, so choose words carefully. James says, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in God's image. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. So we've taught lions to jump through hoops, right? We've taught dolphins to clap, an elephant to stand on a ball. We've even charmed snakes. But did you know snake charmers remove the poison glands from the cobras they work with? Right? They remove the danger from the beast. But James says the tongue is an untamable beast full of poison. So choose your words carefully. Poison and fire are dangerous, right? Play with fire and you might get arrested. Burned, I heard burned. You're right. You might get burned. James actually says you will get burned. He says we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man. We all stumble and mess up with our words, right? I'm familiar with the taste of my foot. It spends a lot of time in my mouth. But the goal is to realize the weight of our words and learn from our mistakes. We are going to mess up. So learn from mistakes. So I was speaking to my wife recently, and I could see that my words hurt her. I could see it. And I walked away in frustration thinking, she needs to figure this out and quit being sad, because it's like everything I say lately hurts her. I've never audibly heard God speak to me, but in that moment I heard a pretty clear and God graciously allowed me to rehear my thought. It's like she's hurt by everything I say lately. It's like the way I speak to her is hurting her. Now, in my heart, I believe my wife is a flower. She deserves to be nurtured and cared for and protected by me. But in my words, I was showing her that I was busy and had other priorities I needed to focus on. So seeing that I had hurt her, it was painful. And I knew I had a choice to make. I could either ignore it and say it's not that big a deal, and over time allow her to grow bitter and resent me, or I could apologize and learn from my mistake. So I apologized and I prayed and I asked God, help me soften my heart and soften my words and treat her the way I really feel about her. That's the idea of what we call sanctification, right? We are going to mess up, but the goal is to mess up less today than we did yesterday. Words have weight. You're playing with fire. So choose words carefully and then learn from mistakes. So do you feel the weight of your words? What words are you known by? Do your words nurture encouragement or do they smear gossip? Do your statements often start with, hey, no offense, but, or, well, I just tell it like it is, so. And do the words that follow, do they really need to be said? Because I know the times that I say, hey, I was just joking. I was really just being a jerk. So parents, what words do you give your kids to repeat? That's convicted me lately because I hear my kids say even silly things that I say. And I just think, what am I giving them to repeat? Husbands, do your wives, do your words? All right, it's been a good run. But do your words make your wife feel more valuable than the day you married her? And wives, not that this happens, but if you were to feel like your husband was an unmotivated animal who hibernates on the couch, is there any chance you've spoken that identity into him over the years? Bosses, if you have employees, are they motivated by your words or are they threatened by them? For the younger folks in the room, like, do you speak what you believe, or when you're around your friends, is it hard to speak what you know is true? And for those who follow Jesus, do your words represent him well? What is God speaking to you today? It's hard to read this text and not feel like maybe there's a change we should make, right? Maybe your tongue is a wild animal that needs obedience classes. How do we even tame the tongue? Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person, out of his good treasure, brings forth good. The evil person, out of his evil treasure, brings forth evil. So our words reveal our heart. What comes in is what goes out. That's hard to digest as a culture of consumers, and I meant that pun. But our days begin with screens and end with screens and are filled with screens serving us information to consume. So what we watch and listen to matters because it ends up forming the words that we speak, and those words have weight. And that may not be a surprise to you at all, right? There are words from your past that echo in your mind. They hurt. Maybe you've been told what you'll never be. Maybe you've been told you don't matter. If that's you, please feel the weight of these words from Ephesians 2. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. We heard earlier how God created all that exists, and in the end, he said, out of all my creation, you are the masterpiece. Do you hear those words? You, in spite of all you've done, because of Christ, you are God's masterpiece. So we began with the four movements of the Bible, so let's end there, okay? God created everything, and it was good. People chose their desires over a relationship with God. But God saved us, gave us a solution, and redeemed us through Jesus. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So Jesus gave his life to redeem us, to restore our relationship with God, and to give us eternal life. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. words have weight. And one day, when God restores his people and his creation, every tongue will declare that Jesus is Lord. It doesn't say the tongues of those who believe. It says every tongue. When Jesus returns, all of creation will see him. And we will not be able to see him without saying, "You are Lord." Okay, we inherited a broken and sinful nature from the first people. That's the hand we're dealt. Because of that, we are separated from God, and there's judgment for our sin. I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable or offended talking about sin and judgment. I thought he was the funny one. Why is he doing this? But I care about you, so I can't shy away from the truth. There is a day when our sin is judged. If I've got your attention, listen to me. If you trust Jesus as your Savior, that day has already happened. It happened 2,000 years ago on the cross of Jesus. Because he stood in our place, took our judgment, and he paid the price. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Jesus has already taken our judgment for sin. Even if you want to, there's nothing you can do to earn it because it's done. We're saved through faith in what he has already done. Words have weight. And if we could measure them, the heaviest words ever spoken are those declaring that Jesus is Lord and Savior. If you've never done that, you can do it today. You pray and say, "Jesus, I need you. I've been living for myself. I don't want to do that anymore. You are Lord, and I accept the life you offer me." We have elders in the room today. If you guys would stand up. Guys and wives, if you're here, stand up. We got a couple in the back. If you've never prayed that and you want to pray that with someone or you want to ask questions about it, they would love to do that. If you do know Jesus, if you want to pray with somebody, just share the burden of life. If you just want to visit with an elder, ask questions, they would love to do that. We've got some by the door in the back, some here. So we're going to sing a song, and during that song, if you want to pray with them, they would love that. If you do know Jesus as your Savior, that means he has given you life. So speak words that give life. Remember, you're playing with fire, so choose words carefully and learn from your mistakes because words have weight. God, thank you for saving us, for redeeming us through Jesus. Thank you that one day you will restore your people and your creation and we will be in your presence. God, any conviction that was felt today, help us to not just walk out from underneath the weight of that, but to be changed by it. And I just pray for anyone here today who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that they would feel the weight of your words, that they are your masterpiece because of Jesus. They are loved, they are known, they are seen. For those of us who know Jesus, who have forgotten that truth, just let it settle down in all of those places that have grown hard. Let that truth sink into all the places that we push it out of. All the places we try to earn your love. Fill those places with the truth that you know us and love us and have already paid the price for us. God, help us to speak the truth and the name of Jesus into every part of our lives.